Morning. As you know, we have been going through a series on prayer, and the intention is that at the end of the series we will produce a booklet, and this booklet will have a majority of what we've been talking about in our series, along with a checklist, so that we can get confidence in praying to God. You know, prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have. And the enemy doesn't want us to communicate with God. The enemy would love us not to pray. The enemy would love to come and say, this is too difficult. But prayer isn't difficult. And we're hoping over the next few months that as we build up this series, that this little booklet will help you. Now, unfortunately, I've been away for a few weeks, as you know. And what we want to do this morning is take some extracts from what we have been doing in the last couple of weeks to refresh ourselves, to recap ourselves, and then to move on this morning, just for a few moments this morning, as we take the next step on this journey for prayer. You notice that the first thing that we said about prayer was having a conversation with God. Quite simply, communicating with God. You know, on the battlefield, communication is vitally important. And if the enemy can knock out your communications, then he's done a great deal of damage. And the enemy, you know, wants to do as much collateral damage as he possibly can. So if he can stop us praying to God, if he can stop this conversation, if he can stop this communication between God and us and us and God, then he's well on his way to being very, very happy. But God wants us to have a conversation with God. And the disciples obviously saw how important it was with Jesus. And so they said, teach us to pray. And so Jesus was more than willing to spend time teaching his disciples. Jesus knew how much of communication is vital. He would spend all night in prayer. So one, you are having a conversation with God. Number two, you are using a powerful weapon. We really are. When we pray and communicate, we're at the very throne room of grace. The very heart room of God. I want to tell you that our prayers are a powerful weapon. There's no greater weapon than when you and I are having a conversation with God. Thirdly, we notice that we get a strategy from God. And remember the book of Daniel, when Daniel was near to execution along with his three friends. You remember that he called them together and he said, let's pray. There was something about the partnership of prayer. And it says, and Daniel prayed. And then we know that in Daniel chapter 2 that God answered Daniel's prayer. He got the revelation that all the great wise men of Babylon never got. He got a strategy from God. So remember, most of all, God loves to answer prayer. So remember those 3 points, won't you? Prayer is having a conversation. It's having this useful weapon. And it's getting a strategy from God. Well, why do we pray then? Well, Isaiah 53:12 makes it quite meaningful as to why we pray. We're using intercession. And you remember we did the demonstration where we had two ladies out and they were able to sort of go at one another. We did a mock of that intercession called Pagar, which means to strike up against, to be violent against, to collide with. And that's what we're doing with prayer. We are colliding. There is a spiritual warfare going on in heaven. And we need to understand that when we pray, there is a spiritual warfare. That's why sometimes our prayers are not answered immediately. The book of Daniel again tells us that there was a spiritual warfare going on in heaven. And there was a battle going on in heaven. Praise God, greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world today. But there is a battle. Our prayer sometimes will force a battle. And it's paga, to strike up against, to be violent against. And that's why we have the two examples of those two ladies, you remember, where they could really, if they wanted to, they could have hit each other. Because there was nothing to stop them. Nothing to stop them. There was no barrier. But that's where we came in. And this is paga. It means that we stand in the gap. We stand in the gap. We prevent the two people from colliding, as we saw with them two ladies, because they couldn't get to each other, because I was standing in the gap. And that is what it is. Intercessor. It's a form of spiritual warfare where the intercessor stands between the person or the situation and the devil. And we need to understand that if we want to win our community or our family for Christ, we are going to have to be intercessors. We're going to have to be Parga. Then we went on very briefly, because we need to move on quickly this morning. We said there were a few things that we need to do. We've said why we're praying, but how? Well, first of all, we need to spend time with God when you're in a good place. You need to find a time and a place when you're alone with God without distractions. No TVs. When, not with your family. When you are alone with God, and that can be any time of the day, you choose. That's great. You choose. But you must be a time when you're alone with God. That's the first thing. The second thing, you need to find the best method of praying. Some people are very uncomfortable on their knees. Some people enjoy going for a walk. Some people like me write a prayer diary and then maybe recite that prayer diary. It helps us to gather our thoughts into what we want to say with God. You need to find the best method of prayer. And then the third thing we said was, listen, we need to give God a time to speak. And so, listen, a good place is to get your mobile phones, which we all have now, or alarm clock, whatever it is, and say to God, I'm going to give 10 minutes. Just start with that 10 minutes where you are going to say nothing. You're going to allow God to just speak. And you'll find that you'll get used to doing 10 minutes, and then you'll get used to 15, and you'll get used to 20. And so it will gather. Remember, God is never in a hurry to perfect things. And he will slowly take us as much as we can bear. But don't pray in the evening if you know if you close your eyes you're going to drop off to sleep. That is pointless. No point in having 5 or 10 minutes complete silence with God when you know you're going to close your eyes, you're going to drop off to sleep. It's not a time for sleep. It's a time for waiting on God and learning to wait on God, which is a process. Are there any tools to help us to pray? Yes, there are. And you're going to get this prayer diary, which you can see this morning. And we will do that during the course of this session. It's a lovely little prayer diary. I did it in 1984. I wrote in this prayer diary, as you can see at the bottom there, 3 personal prayers. And I wrote them there, wanting to go back to work. I was on strike. And that prayer wasn't answered till 12 months later. But God did answer that prayer. And in between those 12 months, God was gracious in keeping me in food and paying bills and things like that when life was really tough. Prayer does work, friends. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you that we are going to develop, hopefully, a real habit of communicating with God. Now, the disciples said, teach us to pray. And so Jesus said, okay, here is a good tool. It's a really good method of praying, and we know we call it the Lord's Prayer. And a few weeks ago, we dealt with the person of the prayer. Because that's Christ's model. Our prayer begins, Our Father. Our Father. And we said about this that, first of all, here that we have a partnership with a person. A partnership with a person. And we have 3 things, if you noticed. I'm just recapping very quickly so we can move on. First of all, we have identification. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us to be his children. And that's what we are. 1 John 3:1 makes it quite clear that we have a partnership with a person. He says, we are his children in 1 John 1. Oh, friend, this morning, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Can you say, Abba, Father? Are you identified in Christ this morning? Then we noticed that we have intimacy. 1 John 1:3 says, what we have seen and heard we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. It's an intimacy with God. And it's a privilege freely given to us by Christ through his sacrifice on the cross. He removed our sins so that we might dwell with God. Therefore, we have this intimacy with him. Friend, if you've had your sin removed this morning, You have intimacy with God. You are identified in Christ this morning. And then the third thing we noticed is that we had an influence. We have an influence. You know, 1 John 3:22 says, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. John 16:23 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You see, we have great influence. You remember Elijah and Elisha, two great prophets of God. And Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. He had great influence and he prayed and it did rain. Oh, we have great influence. You remember the disciples prayed that Peter might be released from prison. And his prayers were answered. And Peter, you remember, was knocking at the door. He found it easier to get out of prison than he did to get into that prayer meeting that morning. But God answers prayer. We are influential. Listen, our nation might be in a state of instability. But Lord, we can do something about our nation. We don't have to go on strike to change our situations. We are an influence. When we meet with God in conversation, when we cry for our nation, oh, that the Lord might restore and heal our nation, that he might bring prosperity back. And the book of Jeremiah reminds us that we are to pray for the city in which we dwell, for its peace and for its prosperity. Why? Why did God say to Jeremiah, pray, settle down, he said to the children of Israel. You settle down now in this place I have placed you. And you pray at that town in which I have put you in. Might be peaceful and prosperous. Because I believe God loves to hear his children. So we are identified with Christ. We have intimacy with Christ. And we have influence with Christ. So the first part that God will remind us this morning is our Father. Oh, Papa. Papa. We are in partnership with a person. We go on now to this morning, just for a few moments this morning. We have partnership with a purpose. Hallowed be thy name. Here we have relationship with a purpose. We have relationship with a person. Isn't it wonderful? We have relationship with a person, and we have relationship with a purpose. The phrase contains seven petitions. Three are for God and four are for us. But the first petition, the first one is related to God, and it is where all prayer starts from. We need to understand the Father to whom we pray is not like us. His name is hallowed. You remember that we talked about this the last time, that we pray in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We come to the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that is the correct way to come before God, because the Bible makes it quite clear that there is no other name whereby which men can be saved. Jesus said that he was the way to the Father, and that if we went through another way, we were a thief. The story of the Good Shepherd makes it quite clear. And we need to understand that it is the way to come to God. I come to you this morning, God, in the name of your Son, by the power of your Holy Spirit, right to the very heart room and throne room of grace, in the name of Jesus, whose blood has cleansed me and washed me, gives me access right into his very presence, where the first thing I recognize is the holiness of God. Hallowed be his name. And it is this name, you know, that we're going to concentrate for the next few moments. But we want to take this series very slowly. We're not in a rush. And we've got some things this morning which we're going to give you, which will help you. But we need to understand the Father to whom we pray is not like us. His name is hallowed. You know, this wonderful name, the name of God, was always an expression of his character. He was always known to Israel as Jehovah Yahweh, who says, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. In other words, I will become whatever I pleased. You can translate it if you want, the becoming one. The God whose purposes are sure. Isn't that wonderful to know this morning we have a God whose purposes are sure. Hallelujah. Who is sovereign. Whose word is irrevocable. That's why it's wonderful to have a communication with a God like the God that we have. There is no other God like our God. And we're thankful today that His word is sure and steadfast. He cannot change. He cannot change. He's not like us. He's not a liar. He is truth. That liar belongs to our enemy, who is a thief and a stealer. But thank God we belong to the God of truth. He is truth. It's part of Him. We need to understand the God in whom we're praying to is not like us. Sometimes we can be so frivolous in our prayers. We can sometimes not give God the respect that His name is due to. He is not like us. Neither does His character behave like us. We have to understand that when we talk about His name, we're talking about His hallowed character. Sometimes, you know, He was known by many variations of that name. And we're going to give you now a piece of card to put in your Bibles. This will also go in the booklet, but we're going to put in your Bibles for the benefit this morning. So that you'll be able to look at this. For instance, sometimes He was known as Jehovah Jireh. And as you can see, it's written down in this plastic card, the names of Jesus. Now, it's not a comprehensive list, but there are a lot of names I've given you here this morning. For instance, He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. You need healing this morning. The children of Israel would know Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals. He's still the Lord who heals. He is Jehovah Tekiska. He is the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Nasir, the Lord our banner. You remember when Moses and the children of Israel were fighting the Amalekites, and Moses was lifting up his arms. And every time he lifted up his arms, they were winning. Every time he dropped his arms, they were losing. And so they had to get a stone, and the two men lifted him up and put him on that stone so his arms were completely kept up, and the children of Israel could, in fact, win. He was, in fact, Jehovah Sabaoth. He was the Lord of the armies. But He was also Jehovah Nissi. He was the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. Oh, when Abraham knew that name, Abraham called Him Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As He provided a lamb for a sacrifice in place of His son. Do you know this God this morning? Do you know the hallowness of His name this morning? Do you know the power of His name this morning? And in the Old Testament, they were absolutely certain to the power. They wouldn't say His name. They would stop short. Isn't it wonderful that we can fully say the name Jehovah Yahweh? We can truly say, Our Father which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. What a wonderful statement to be able to say this morning. Children of Israel would not say that. We can this morning. And there are many names which you've got on this card, and as we're looking at it now, you can see the names. And I would just like you to use these names. You know, He is Jehovah Elohim. He is the eternal creator. He is Jehovah Adonai. The Lord is sovereign. He is sovereign. He is Jehovah Yahweh. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. What a God we serve this morning. But do you recognize that when you come in front of Him? Haven't found your quiet place? Haven't found the method in which you want to come to God? Are we straight in with a roll of a shopping list as if we're going to Tesco's or Asda? Or are we thinking about the name that is above all names? The children of Israel knew how hallowed that name was. And you know, it's hurtful sometimes to hear Christians say, my God, in a frivolous way. It's worse when Christians seem to take the name of God. The world outside, it hurts when we hear it, and we have to get used to it. I don't suppose there's a day go by now where we don't hear that lovely name blasphemed. Now I know we're under grace, but I still believe the Lord expects his name to be hallowed. That thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. I do believe that. But the world does it automatically and it rolls off their tongue. Well, one chap who could hardly say a sentence without saying Jesus wept. My friends, he did weep. But he wept over a city that was about to be destroyed. He wept over a city where he could see the people who were sheep who had no shepherd. It was a heart wrench from the very heart of Jesus Christ. He lay broken tears as he saw what sin has done. Friend, I believe God weeps when he hears his name so blasphemed. Let's make sure that we are not accused of taking his name in vain. That was the Old Testament. How does this relate to the New Testament then? Hallowed be thy name. Well, we've just said that the name of God reveals his character. And who was better to reveal the character of God than our Saviour Jesus Christ? So when we come and consider his name this morning in the New Testament sense or in our sense, we consider Christ. And remember in Luke chapter 4 he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year. Jesus says, I have been sent by God himself. I have revealed the very character of God. You remember he could say before Abraham was, I was. That made a real insult to the Pharisees. They realized who he was proclaiming. That was blasphemy. You cannot say you're God. But Jesus said, I was. I am. And they understood that. That's why when he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they rose up. Only a hallowed God can remove the sins. But Jesus says, that's who I am. Jesus is a very, very character of God. He is God. He remembered himself. And John, as he wrote, said, in the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. Reflected on Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Christ. And the Word was with God. And Christ was with God. And we can wonderfully see how John and the book of his wonderful book shows us the revelation of God himself through Jesus Christ. It was John who kept saying, writing his book, Jesus would say, didn't he? I do the Father's will. I don't speak any word that's come from myself. That which has been revealed to me from the Father through the Spirit. That's what I'm saying this morning, Jesus is saying. The very character of God. I speak the very words of God. And I've come to set people free. Friend, he has come to set you free from sin and sickness. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to preach the good news of the gospel. He is the very revelation of God. If ever you want to know how hallowed that name is, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He was holy, harmless, separate, but undefiled. He brought strength to the weak. He cleansed the leper. He raised the dead. He said, I have revealed thyself. I have declared thy character. He said, I have hallowed thy name. I have manifested thy name. Jesus proclaimed this. And this morning, It's wonderful to know that you are identified in Jesus. You have intimacy with Jesus. You have great influence with Jesus this morning. The very person who says, I have declared thy character. I have hallowed thy name, God. I have manifested thy name. The name of God is supremely and finally revealed in Christ Jesus. How do I know that? Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days He has spoken to us through His Son. We think for the moment of something of the character of God, we will understand why Jesus had to go to that place called Calvary, because God is holy, infinitely holy, and our sin had to be dealt with. And only Christ could take away our sin, the holiness, the hallowedness of God. And today He speaks through His beautiful Holy Spirit. We say that God is with us when we meet in His presence. We say where two or three gather together in His name, He is where? Right in the midst. Right in the midst. He doesn't float in the atmosphere. He is incarnated in the personality of every born again man and woman. That's where His presence is when we two or three gather together. There the Holy Spirit is. There. You're not floating somewhere out in space. He's indwelling in each believer this morning. Hallelujah. He dwells with the believer. He is with us today as Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my victory. The Lord is my banner. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my calm. The Lord is my tranquility. The Lord is my serenity. The Lord is my deep peace. He is Jehovah Takiki. The Lord is my righteousness. He is my righteousness. Have we got this name this morning? Are we fully understanding that when you're going to come into prayer, you're going to come into a holy God, revealed to us through His Son. We have the power of His Spirit into the very access. Friend, do not take the name of God lightly. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus revealed the character of God. So, what onus is there on you and me? What is there can I draw out from this morning? What practical things is brought there this morning? Well, it's quite simple. Is that you now are in the position of where Jesus was. We are to reveal the very character and holiness and hallowedness of God in the way we live our lives. That's why the first thing is to say, hallowed be thy name. How is His name being portrayed through you and me? Not on a Sunday, but during the week. You see, to pray, hallowed be thy name, is to simply pray this. It's the deepest level of which any man or woman is capable. For it means that first and foremost, I desire in my life, and through my life, to offer to others, to reveal the name of Jesus, and the character of God. I am therefore supremely concerned, that every detail of my life should be for His glory. In other words, because I can look up into His face and call Him Father. Because I understand something of the character of God in worship. I desire to honor Him in my relationships by so living a life that is worthy. As a Christian worker and a servant of God, this concern will be uttermost in my every thinking. Whatever service I do, whatever relationship I have, I will hallow His name. Can you pray? Lord, above everything else that happens, hallowed be thy name. In Romans 2:24, he says this, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. What a sad reflection. To the Jewish people, he's saying, you know, you do God no favors. His name is blasphemed because of you. I wonder what a sad reflection that is. Friend, brother and sister this morning, I hope the world in Pipe Hayes, the community in which we serve in, cannot say the name of God is blasphemed among them because of us. How hallowed is his name. It's a beautiful name, you know, if we use this the way that we are supposed to use it. We have faith in the name that is above all names. Friend, you will find communication and prayer something to be a joyful experience, not a tiresome thing. When you understand the very person and character and revelation of God who we have this morning, you will cry, Abba Father, I delight to be in your presence. I know that you are the all-sovereign one. You are who you are. You will be who you will be. I take, Father, great pride this morning knowing that I'm in the family of God. And I believe there's nothing wrong with saying pride. It's pride to be in the family of God. Not because we have pride in ourselves. No. But we take pride in the person who brought us into the family of God, whose name is hallowed. Paul says, I boast in nothing but the cross. I've got great pride in the cross, says Paul. I'll boast in nothing else. Because it brought me into a relationship. I have a relationship with a person, our Father, which art in heaven. And I have a relationship with a purpose. Hallowed be thy name.